Have you ever tried to run away from home? When I was young, first or second grade in there somewhere, I gave it a try. I was upset with something going on in my family, I'm sure. I went to the backyard, got a big tree branch and stripped it clean. Went to my room and got my cowboy bandana and put my favorite toys in it. Tied it to the stick like I had seen on TV. And threw it over my shoulder and off I went. I was going to go to the school playground. It was just a few blocks away and a lot of swings and stuff there. And I was just going to play long enough for Mom and Dad to worry about me. Somehow I had forgotten. I had never walked those few blocks alone. My brother Mickey had always walked with me. Now, as you know, I am directionally challenged to the max. Although it was only a few blocks away, I got turned around and suddenly had no idea where I was. At first, I will admit, I didn't care. I just wanted to get away from home. And now my running away had turned into an adventure. But then, I got hungry. Fortunately, and now I know it was by the grace of God, I ran into Mickey and his friends. They were playing a few houses down from ours. He pointed out our house, and I was back in my bedroom before Mom and Dad even knew I was gone. I wasn't very good at running away from home. But I'll tell you something I have been way more successful at in my life, and that's running away from God. As I look back over the landscape of my life, I see many different times, usually times when I just knew that I was smarter than God, times that I just knew what I wanted was right and better and even selfless. Perhaps the most profound was when I just knew I had to get my family back to Lexington to help take care of Barbie's mother. She's our only parent left. You've met her and you know how special and how wonderful she is. I applied honestly at several churches. I even interviewed for several positions, everything from senior adult minister to associate minister to preaching minister. At one point, I even talked with board members at the local Ronald McDonald House about leaving the ministry and managing their facility. But my high and lofty goals collided with God's. And Barbie reminded me, God loves Granny more than we do. He knows what's best for all of us. So my desires, as good and as right as they may have been, collided with God's calling on my life. God won. He always does. And we're still, I think, on track with God's will, and we're right where we're supposed to be, even though from time to time we struggle with it. But let me ask you something, MCC. Have you ever tried to run away from God? Are you running away now? Have you ever had something in your life that you knew was God's calling on your life, but you just didn't want to do it? Are you running away from Him now? Have you ever had something in your life you knew was God's calling, you didn't want to, so you ran into another direction? Well, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to study the book of Jonah. Is there a better account in all of the Bible than the story of Jonah? It's the story of a fish that called a man. It's the story of the greatest runner of all times. And it's the story of the greatest catch and release in history. If you have your Bible, go ahead and look up Jonah. It's in the Old Testament, between Obadiah and Micah. Now, I know some of you are thinking, thanks a lot, Pastor Dave, that helped a lot. It's not easy to find, so go ahead, use the table of contents. There's no shame in that. While you're looking it up, let me tell you a little bit about this book. Whether you've been in church a long time or a little bit, the book of Jonah is a hard book to swallow. See what I did there? See what I did there? This guy runs from God, and he gets in this boat, and he gets thrown into the sea, and he finds himself in the belly of this great fish for 3 days. Does this story even seem real? I want you to know, as we embark on this study of this book, I believe Jonah and the book of Jonah are real and true, just the way it is written in the Bible. I do. I believe it, hook, line, and sinker. See what I did there? Oh, I got a dozen of those. I want to give you a couple of reasons why I believe in Jonah. The first reason I believe in Jonah is because Jesus believed in Jonah. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus speaks about Jonah. He speaks of Jonah as a real historical person, as a real historical event. And you see, I just have this rule in my life. If Jesus believes something, I believe it. The other reason I believe in Jonah is because I believe in a big God. I believe in a big God, a God who created this entire universe. And I believe this God can create a big fish that can keep a guy alive in there for 3 days. Now, I don't know how he did it, but I believe he can do it, and I believe that he did do it. After all, we were all inside our mom for 9 months. Isn't that amazing? Not just 3 days, 9 months. Now listen, here's what I want us to be sure of as we begin this short series. I don't want us to get sidetracked with, was he really in the belly of a fish? Was he really, this or that? I don't want us to miss the great lessons for our lives. The book of Jonah is not just about him or a big fish. The book of Jonah is only 4 chapters long, 48 verses total, 2 pages. If you have a Bible with those onion skin papers and they stick together, you'll miss half the book. It's not much, but within those 48 verses is basically the outline for most of our lives. Every one of us can look back and at some point see where we too ran away and tried to resist God's will and His leading for our lives. Some of you may be running right now. What most runners have discovered is this. You can run from God, but you cannot outrun God. As we begin with chapter 1, here's the first thing I want us to see. When we run from God, we run to some odd and unsafe places. Jonah was standing on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea near Joppa. And what God was asking Jonah to do is go to a place called Nineveh. Nineveh is about 500 miles north and east of where Jonah is. Nineveh is the capital of the Assyrian people. Syria is one of the most powerful nations in the world at his time. And Nineveh was one of the largest cities. Some Bible scholars say that anywhere from 600,000 to nearly 1 million people lived in Nineveh. The people of Nineveh were the archenemies of Israel. They were a vicious, vicious people. And Jonah did not like them one little bit. He grew up hearing the horrible stories of these terrible people. Among many other evil things, Nineveh was known for capturing people and then skinning them alive. They had become experts at filleting people. And when God tells Jonah to go there, he really doesn't want to. God tells Jonah, I want you to, verse 2, go to that great city of Nineveh, that great city of Nineveh, and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. He goes on and in essence says, I want you to go there and tell them that if they don't repent, I'm going to destroy them. And Jonah says, cool. I'd like to see that. But what I want us to see today is we shouldn't be hating on Jonah because he didn't want to go there. The way God viewed Nineveh and the way Jonah viewed Nineveh were very, very different. God wanted to give grace to Nineveh. Jonah wanted to see them wiped off the face of the earth. Philip Yancey says, grace shocks us in what it offers. It's truly not of this world. It frightens us with what it does for sinners. Grace teaches us that God does for others what we would never do for them. We would save the not so bad. God starts with the prostitutes and works downward from there. Grace is a gift that costs everything to the giver and nothing to the receiver. It's given to those who don't deserve it, barely recognize it, and hardly appreciate it. And as I considered this week, I thought a thought hit me in a very powerful way. God is more gracious than I am. You know how I know that? Because He saves people I wouldn't save if I were God. He blesses people I wouldn't bless if I were God. And He uses people in His service I wouldn't use if I were God. Which is why I'm glad He's God and I'm not. The Bible says He is the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And that's good news for me. That's good news for you. That's good news for sinners everywhere. Grace asks us to accept two things that we don't want to accept. There is nothing we can do to save ourselves. And if God doesn't save us, we will never be saved. Nothing more clearly summarizes the true meaning of grace than the simple phrase found in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, salvation is of the Lord. Now listen, I find nothing more striking and more humorous in all the book of Jonah because it comes from the world's worst missionary. As we begin our journey with Jonah, let's clarify one point. Jonah is not the hero of this story. God is. At the beginning, Jonah is running from God. At the end, he's arguing with God. He's no hero. This book is about God. We can see it clearly this way. The fish is mentioned 4 times. The city is mentioned 9 times. Jonah is mentioned 18 times. God is mentioned 38 times. But Jonah did what we do a lot when we see things differently than God. We run in another direction. Let's go back to our map. Jonah is in Joppa and God wants him to go to Nineveh, 500 miles away. Verse 3 tells us instead he gets on a ship and heads for Tarshish. Now Tarshish was as far away from Nineveh as you could get. It was 2,500 miles away. In his day, it was at the other end of the known world. Some say that in that day it would have taken months, maybe even a year, to get there by their ships. You see, the ship Jonah was on was not a Carnival cruise ship. This would have been a long, a hard, and a hazardous journey all the way at that time, all the way across the world. I want you to notice as we continue through this chapter and through this book, what Jonah is basically saying is this: God, I still believe in you, but I'm not going to do what you are asking me to do. You ever been there? God, I still believe in you. I'll still go to church. I'll still read my Bible now and then. I'll still pray now and then. I'll help out around the church. But I'm not going to do that. And so we do what Jonah did. We run away from God. And we run to some odd and unsafe places, don't we? And when we do that, here's what happens next. Life begins to unravel for us. Not always immediately, but when we run from God, eventually life begins to fall apart. There are three things we see that happens when Jonah runs away. See if any of these apply to your life as well. First, we stop hearing God's voice. We stop listening to His Word. We stop studying and researching and trying to get into His Word and hear what God wants to say to us. We stop hearing God's voice. In verse 1 we read, the Word of God came to Jonah. But when you get down just a little further, verse 5 and on, it is no longer the Word of God that comes to Jonah because he's no longer listening. It's now the works of God that come to Jonah. It's the wind and the waves and the rain and the thunder. It's the works of God. Let me ask you a question, MCC. Now, don't answer this out loud. Don't stand up and say, amen. But do you ever just feel like the whole world is against you? You ever feel like nature is against you? Well, guess what? It might be. It just might be that you are running from God and you've hardened your heart and you're not listening to His Word, so He's using His works to get your attention. A second thing that happens when we run is this. We begin to confuse opportunity with God's blessing. Now stay with me a moment. What I'm about to say might sound wrong because it goes against how we were raised. Here it is. Favorable circumstances do not always equal God's will. Think about that for a moment. Favorable circumstances do not always equal God's will. Here's another way to say it. There will always be another ship in the harbor willing to take you in the wrong direction. Think about Jonah again. He is a prophet of God. He is a man of God. He is a leader for God. But he's running away from God. And it appears everything's okay. It appears the Lord's with him. It appears God's working it all out. He goes down to the port and there's a ship there going his way. It's going to Tarshish, going to the other side of the world. And he has the money to pay the fare. How many times have you wanted to do something and just couldn't come up with the money to do it? He's got the money. And on board, he's down in the bottom of the ship, sleeping like a baby. Surely God is working all this out. Everything seems to be falling in place. It must be God's will. Have you ever heard, if God is in it, if the Holy Spirit is leading you, it will be smooth sailing. He'll always make a way. Now listen, I believe that is often true, but I don't believe it's always true. And some of you are thinking, I wish you hadn't said that, Pastor David. How do I know which is which? How do I know if things are clicking, if things are going good in my life, how do I know I'm not confusing opportunity with God's blessing? Well, here's the third thing. Look around you. Because when you're running away from God, you will almost always hurt those close to you. When you're running from God, people around us will be adversely affected. Think of Jonah again. These sailors with Jonah, they were not co-conspirators with Jonah in some plot to get him out of town, to help him flee from his God. Yet their lives were dramatically impacted by his running away from his God. These guys are taking all the cargo. That's where they get all their money. That's how they make a living. They're taking all this cargo that they're going to be delivering at all these ports along the way as they travel to the other end of the world. And they're taking all of it and they're throwing it overboard into the sea. But right now, they don't care about that because they're getting ready to die. And all they had done, all they were guilty of, was they let this guy who was running away from God onto their ship. And it took them all into this dangerous place. Men, husbands, dads, women, wives, moms, when you run from God, your decisions will affect your spouse and your kids. Singles, teens, when you start hanging out with someone that's running from God, the reason your friends and your family freak out is because they know you're going to get hurt. But listen, thank God in heaven, that's not the end of the story. It's not the end of Jonah's story, and it doesn't have to be the end of our story either. Here's the good news of the story of Jonah. Here's the good news of the story for you and me. When we run from God's will, He doesn't just sit back and fold His arms and say, "Okay, there you go. Have at it. Your bed, you made it, you sleep in it. Good luck." He doesn't say, "Have a good run. I'll see you at half past never." He doesn't do that. What we learn from Jonah is when we run away, God in His epic grace and mercy actually gets involved in every little detail of our lives. He will do whatever it takes to bring us back to Him. He will leave the 99 to come after the one. He will send the wind and the waves and the storm to bring us back. MCC, do you know why God provided the storm? Do you know why He provided that great fish Jonah was in for days? Even closer to home, do you know why God allows those crazy circumstances in your life? Do you know why God will sometimes mess with your finances, your career, your health? Well, that brings us to our last point from chapter 1. God gets involved in our lives not to pay us back, but to bring us back. Honestly, I don't know where each of you are in your life right now. I don't know if you're going to believe what I'm going to say right now or not, because some of you may be in a pretty stormy season of life right now. But I feel I need to say this to you. God does love you. God is not against you. God is not out to get you. God loves you. God loves you so much. He's willing to get in your life. He's really willing to get up in your face and do whatever it takes to bring you back. God's goal is never to pay you back. It's always to bring you back to Him. It's not to punish you for some mistake you did. If that were the case, wouldn't we all be being punished all the time? God's goal is never to pay you back. It's always to bring you back to Him. And here's another thing. God doesn't chase you. He goes ahead of you and waits for you. You see, here's a secret about God. He already knows where you're going to run. And so He says, "Go ahead. I'll be there when you get there." Here's what's crazy. Some of you have been running from God for years. Some of you, and you know it, you're in church, but you've been running from God for decades. We are so much like Jonah, it's scary. There's a little Jonah in all of us, and there's a whole lot of Jonah in most of us. And today you and God have collided. He knew you would be here today. He knew you would be looking at Jonah today. He's been here waiting for you right in the place that you're sitting. As we have only begun to sneak into the book of Jonah, I pray that you have discovered you can run from God, but you can't outrun God. Here's your takeaway. What is one area of your life where you're running from God? What is one area of your life you're hiding and trying to keep secret? Here's a big question for you. Would you let today be the day you stop running? Would you let today be the day you stop running? Father God, we thank you for Jonah. Sorry he went through what he went through. But we thank you for his story in the Bible, because his story in so many ways is our story. We try to run from you so often and in so many ways. And like Jonah, we end up in some pretty odd and unsafe places, hanging out with people we shouldn't hang out with, turning away from your word and turning to what people think and how we feel. We go to some strange places, some strange people, and it begins to affect those around us. We're not as patient with them as we once were. We're not as loving and kind. We're not as understanding of their situation, not because we're so angry and running away from you, because we don't want to do what you want us to do. Oh, we still believe in you. In our minds and hearts, yeah, we're still good Christians. We believe in God. We've been baptized. We go to church. But we're running away from you. And like Jonah, we've caused a lot of misery along the way, and if not, we will be. As the story of Jonah continues to unfold, Father, we will see you work in his life as you get involved in more than just his rough days at sea. Like him, you will wake us from our slumber. We will realize that while we take our ease and eat and drink, thinking everything's going fine, it's really not. We're not where you want us to be at all. And as hard as it is to pray, I would pray this morning, Father, that you would send whatever storm, whatever fish, whatever lesson you need to, not to pay us back, but to bring us back to you. I guess my prayer today would be, Lord, send the fish. Send the fish. Send the fish. In Jesus' name, amen.